listening to PBN. Your path back to stability here.
What is up, everybody? James Walton here, PBN Daily News. Thank you for joining us today. We are going to take a news break, man. We're going to take a break from all things news related and focus on winter prep. Winter prep. The wind outside is on and it's howling. Now, yesterday was a beautiful day. It's going to be pretty cold tonight here in Richmond, but I want to talk about winter prep. I want to talk about sort of my top tier, my faves in terms of winter preparedness. That's what I want to get into. You know, we did an amazing show last night with the whole breakdown with Veterans Day and Trump issues and anti-MAGA movements and poisoning men and... It's a wild world out there, you know. One of our listeners, That Nub, spoke about getting back to basics. And I think when we have those opportunities to get back to basics as preppers, homesteaders and such, we should. And yes, this is our sponsor, Krispy Kreme. Just kidding. Their coffee's awesome. It's a good break from Disaster Coffee. If you haven't been to disastercoffee.com yet, check them out. It's another one of our businesses here at PBN. And man, do we got some awesome stuff up there. You got to see our EMPT. You got to see our gray man, Earl Gray. You got to see Uncle Randy. Uncle Randy's porch up there at disastercoffee.com. Go check them out. All right. Jay Fergie in the house. Good morning. What is up? We'll be talking about some of your wares this morning on top tier winter preps. I think what I'm going to do too is turn this article into this podcast into an article with a bunch of links to all the stuff. I'll put that up at pbnfamily.com. If you're not a member yet over at pbnfamily.com, you're going to be consumed by old man winter. Okay. Relentlessly. Just kidding. But it's an incredible deal. $60 for the year membership. You get fitness, you get preparedness, bushcraft, politics, courses, videos, podcasts. It's a ton of stuff. Okay. All preparedness topics. We cover the homesteading angles, the prepping angles, all the kind of stuff. PBNfamily.com. Okay. Jay Fergie chat is literally making herself a wool sweater at the moment. I'm insanely jealous. I have an old Spider-Man thermal on. No, I actually love this shirt. This is one of those shirts that's like so old, but I'm never getting rid of it, you know? Until you can't wear it anymore, then I'll get rid of it. But look what I do have at my side here. Not a winter prep per se, but if you're wondering what Jay Ferg is up to, with her handcrafted goods. This is the foraging bag. Not bad. I pulled this baby out the other day. Oh, and by the way, you get yourself a foraging bag and you take our foraging course over there at pbnfamily.com and you start an entirely new chapter of your life. So the way I do this, Jay Ferg, I know I told you about it, but the way I do this thing is around the neck. I think it's pretty cool. Well, I'm not gonna do it right here now, but because it's a little hard to get on and hard to get off. But when it's there, it's really cool. It's like an old sort of farmer's wife apron, you know, with the pockets for the eggs. Pretty cool. But anyhow. Top tier winter preps today, PBN family. Thank you for joining us. I guess let's start with clothing. Let's start with top tier necessary clothing for the winter season, things that I have to have, things that just make the biggest difference for me, right? Like knowing the basics, knowing, and I hope you know the basics, that you should be layering and, you know, doing all those things. Base layers when it gets really cold, good wool socks. Oh, good wool socks I don't have on here. Good wool socks is essential. I got a list in front of me. Where it all begins for me, and one of the earliest things that I start to wear are hats. You know what I mean? I throw the hats on. My favorite, of course, is the Ferg, handcrafted by our one and only host of Phoenix Survival, the Ferg, which I don't have a Ferg. I wasn't actually even planning on being live. I don't have a Ferg. I may go grab a Ferg, actually. I have a red, white, and blue one not far from here. I may go grab that on commercial break and come back with the Ferg on, because the hat is the key. Now, the other big thing that's important to me, this is why the Ferg is the best, is because the Ferg can be a hat, and then it can open up and also protect the neck. And for me, when it gets cold, that's one of the biggest difference makers, is the hat, the fit, the hands, and the neck. If those areas are covered, man, I hold heat really good. So scarf, something along those lines, another huge one for me. Typically, I go to the Shemagh. I don't use the traditional kind of scarf stuff. I don't know. I'm sure a good, yeah, I don't know. I just like that material. You know, when you start putting stuff around the neck, you got to be careful about what you do. For me, I got to have a glove. Well, actually, I use two gloves. I buy the cheap gloves, like the $7 pack of black gloves. And they stay in my bag all the time. They stay in my EDC bag for whatever. You know, sometimes it's not even me. Sometimes it's my kids. Like, they get cold, they can't warm up. Here, put the gloves on. Sometimes it's my wife, whatever. I like to have that pair of gloves. But when it's time to really deal with cold, like when we did Gotham Get Out in February last year, I have the Thinsulate double layer gloves that, to me, I mean, why the Thinsulate is so important, or why a two-layer glove is so important, is because I want to be able to, oh, sweet. I want to be able to touch things that are cold and wet and have my fingers inside the glove protected. Like, I know I can't go swimming with them on, but I got to have a good Thinsulate glove. That's key to top-tier winter preps for me. What do we do next? Heat. We could talk heat. Home heating. Firewood. Well, I've got... Let's do firewood and fire. Okay? Now, I know not everybody has fire, but we're talking about top-tier fire preps for me. If you don't have what I have, it just is what it is. All I can give you is my experience, my recommendations, right? So anybody who manages firewood, has a fireplace, knows that that process starts early in the season, the chopping, you know, the curing, the whole thing. But I still like to have a ready chainsaw, sharpened, you know, fueled up, oiled up, the whole thing, ready to go, even in the winter. Trees still come down, and firewood runs out. Those kinds of things happen. And, you know, just being able to deal with something like that and being able to create firewood on the fly. Opportunities come, too. You know, sometimes opportunities come. And if you have a chainsaw, you can take advantage of them. If you have a good axe, you know, a real axe, a real splitting axe, not a maul, but a real splitting axe, long. I don't know what mine is, probably 30 plus, close to 40 inch, something like that. Essential. Sometimes a tree comes down in the neighbor's yard and the neighbor says, what in the world am I going to do with this tree? It's February. I don't feel like going out there and doing it. I don't want to deal with it. Whatever the situation is, you have a chainsaw, an axe. When I look and see fallen trees, that's what I see. I see firewood. I go, okay, cool. You know, and we could take advantage of that. But if you're going to deal with fire in fireplace, making fires in the fireplace, collecting kindling obviously is essential. I live in a very wooded neighborhood, so there's always kindling around. The other essential is something we make here at our house called Bigfoot Fur. And Bigfoot Fur is absolutely the easiest and cheapest fire starter there is. So Bigfoot Fur is basically dryer lint and wax, used wax. I don't know if you have like diffusers or wax melters, Scentsy, Pink Zebra, those kind of companies. They do scented wax. The wax, we do it in our house. This is why I take such advantage of this. The scented wax loses its scent. It's trash. My wife puts it in a mason jar for me. I put that mason jar in simmering water directly, like in a pot. All of that melts if you're patient and take time. You know, don't do it quick because you'll blow up the mason jar. You can explode the mason jar. I've done it before. And then you have not just glass, but then you have hot wax all over everything too. And that's great because it's going to harden, you know. So you take the hot wax. And if you want to make this stuff, you can just buy wax and do it. You know, you don't have to do it the way I do it. I just decided to take a byproduct of how we do things at our house and turn it into something valuable. We mix up, literally keep a giant Ziploc bag. It's like, it's bigger than, it's probably about like yay. And we take that Ziploc bag and all the dryer lint goes in there. After drying clothes, right? Boom, boom, boom. Then stir in the wax. You got to have rubber gloves when you're making Bigfoot fur. You might even want to donate like a wood dowel to the process. I stir the wax, which is not hot enough to melt the Ziploc bag, right in the bag. Boom, stir it in. And then you can go with that. Like you can make little balls. You can stuff them in egg cartons. Sometimes, at least when I have a lot of it, I'll take like an old coffee can or plastic coffee container and just pack it with the Bigfoot fur. And that I use outside typically. So I'll slice discs off of that, right? I'll cut away the plastic or pull it out of the container and then cut discs and then light them and you got fire. You know what I mean? If you know how to build a fire. But Bigfoot fur is essential. The way that we do it, we put those little wax cups that you put ketchup in. I don't even know if they have them. Like Wendy's, I think, still does it. But you know, the old wax cup. You can get 1,000 of them on Amazon for like 10 bucks or something crazy. Stuff the Bigfoot fur in the wax cup. Pour a little bit of wax over the whole thing if you have extra. It's nice to have like a coating of wax on it. And I put them in Ziplocs. They go in all the bags. They go in the camping bags, the hunting bags, the get-home bags, the bug-out bags, everything. Gets a little Ziploc of, you know, 10 or so Bigfoot fur cups. And they burn. I mean, my son and I clocked them when we first made them, like 13 to 15 minutes they'll burn. In a little wax cup, you know, so if you did something bigger, you'd get even more time. So these are the essentials for me when it comes to fire starting. Very important. Got to have my Bigfoot fur. Got to be able to process wood because I want to burn. Like tonight, I'll have a fire. It's going to be cold tonight. It's going to be cold tomorrow. I'll have a fire. It's as aesthetically pleasing as it is helpful, you know. Let's talk about home stuff. We will get into home heating. I want to talk kind of home maintenance stuff that I do that I think is important, right? Obviously, tuning up your current system. We keep our systems seasonally tuned up with a company. You know, we pay for it throughout the year to make that happen. And I think that's done a world of good for us, really. And it's affordable. It's like less than 200 bucks or something for the year. And you get these seasonal tune-ups. But, you know, the changing of filters for your heating system, this stuff just makes a huge difference, short-term, long-term, efficiency, the whole thing. They have a really great insulation that drill it into your door frame on the outside of the door. It's a rubber strip. It's not necessarily an insulation. It's a strip, weather strip, fundamentally. It's strong, it's durable, and it's super effective. And like I said, my plan is to take the transcript of this and turn it into an article. I'll link to that there. It's too many products to link to everything. But it's basically a weather strip with a plastic edge, tubular plastic edge on one side with screw holes. And you can take it, butt it up to your door, screw it into the door frame. And if you have those doors that lead directly to the outside, or you just have those doors that just, you know, you put your hand up top and you're like, wow, okay, I don't know if we need a door here or not. It's kind of pointless. That's a good one, right? Fireplace inspection, huge. Don't kill yourself and your family, right? Like I said, these things matter to us. So the fireplace stays hooked up. The fireplace is always on the up and up because of that. You know what I mean? We want it to be, I want to have the freedom to wake up and burn firewood whenever the hell I want. So we fortify against old man winter. Let's talk now about home heat. Home heat's a big one. You know what I mean? Home heat's one of those ones where it goes back to kind of what we were talking about last night with the water pumps, right? We were talking about well water pumps. We were talking about backup power. We were talking about the flow jack. We were talking about different off-grid methods. Same thing with heat. You know, yeah, you've got a heat pump system. You got an oil heater, whatever it is your main, you know, whatever it is your main heating system is, you got that. And then you need some backups, right? You need some backups. I found 2 years ago that electric heaters, they're expensive to run, but they are incredibly effective, you know, and that's been really cool. That's been really pretty cool to see because they're new to me. I didn't do a lot with electric heaters in the past. Great for like single room. What I will say is if you rely solely on electric heat, and when your heat system goes out, if it's due to a power outage and you're depending on some kind of backup power solar generator, it's going to kill that solar generator. I tested it last year just out of sheer curiosity. I turned the heat way down and I said, how long could this 3,000 watt solar generator that I have from 0.0 energy power this heater and keep me warm? And it wasn't long. You know, it was about 5 hours before it got dangerously low. It was a low light day outside, so we weren't even getting that good of a charge. It wouldn't be a long-term solution for that. Now, gas generator, powerful 5,000 watt gas generator, different story. You know what I mean? Very different story. Also, you know, smaller space. Jay Fergie says in chat, says kerosene heater for backup heat, huge. I mean, it's one of my favorites. The K1 is a clean burning. It still has a little bit of that kerosene smell to it if you burn it in the house a while. But you're not going to care about that. You know what I mean? If you're cold, you're not going to care about that. You got to keep windows propped when you're using kerosene, when you're using propane. You know, the buddy heater, the propane buddy heaters are also really great. Not something you want to burn like overnight while you're sleeping all windows closed and all that kind of stuff. You could kill everyone in the house. Don't kill everyone in the house. Maybe shiver. No, but if you can ventilate, the kerosene heater can be amazing. These are the essentials. These are the top tier winter preps that I call on. You know, the electric heaters with the gas generator, I've used them in power outages. They work. They also make these really cool electric heaters that are like radiators. They look just like a radiator, like a little section of radiator. They're amazing. I mean, they crank heat into a room. This is not a whole house thing, right? You get into a long-term power outage in the cold. You get everybody into a single room, and that room gets blocked off, curtains, whatever, and that room becomes what you focus on heating. You know what I mean? If it's a long-term winter power outage, instead of saying we need heaters all over the house, you know, it's never going to work for you. How about some homesteading winter solutions, right? Homesteading winter essentials. I used to heat my chickens. I used to put a heat lamp in the chicken coop over the winter. Dave Jones told me that was silly. I did not do it last year, and in all honesty, I didn't see any change in egg production last year. So I don't know how much they really care about the heater. You know, I have a small chicken coop and the chickens huddle up inside it. They spend very little time in it other than nighttime. And, you know, but heat for animals could be essential depending on where you live, you know, that kind of thing. When it comes to birds and stuff like that, I do think that those black bulb heat lamps do a really good job. Insulation of your barns and those kinds of things, that's an essential if you're a goat keeper, that kind of stuff. For me, it's less about insulation of a chicken coop and more about sort of having the bedding to give them the ability to deeply bed, right? Deep bedding is kind of the way that they keep warm. They share their body heat. They trap their body heat with their feathers. They huddle together. They share that body heat, and the deep bedding allows them to kind of hold on to it down there at the bottom also. Big one, right? It's also a time for tarping gardens. I don't know if you guys cover your gardens over the winter or not. The sun has a tremendous effect on the microbiology on your topsoil. In other words, you cover it. Like I fill mine with half broken down compost, and then I cover it with tarps, my beds with tarps. And that protects, it creates this environment where decomposition's happening, right? It covers it and protects it from the UV rays of the sun, so you're not killing off the good stuff. And then next year, you know, remove the tarp and it's good to go. This is an easy one, simple, you know, not really a tough thing to do. Couple tarps. You should have tarps already. If you don't have tarps, you're missing a key element of preparedness. Young tree protection, that's a big one. If you're planting small trees, fruit trees, you're getting into the fruit tree thing, and you have wildlife, particularly rabbits, man, they will eat your tree. They'll eat the little baby trees, the little dwarfs that are coming up. They'll tear them things apart. And then if you buy trees offline, you could lose $65. You could lose $100 on some of these trees I see. All to one little rabbit who wanted to eat the bark off your pear tree. You know what I mean? I take that very simple, it's called cattle fencing or something like that. I think that's what it's called. It's sort of the rectangular hold fence. Wrap that around the base of the trees. I do that from the time I plant them as bare root fruit trees. But that's a fortification to consider. The reason it's important in the winter is because there's not a lot to eat. So where a rabbit might look at your tree in the summertime and go, you know, there's a lot of choice here. I don't think I'm ready for bark yet. In the winter, that could change, you know. What else, folks? What else we got? You know what? We'll do a quick commercial break. And we'll get into... Wait, did I do everything? Oh, we'll get into food. Food essentials, cooking essentials, that kind of stuff. And then I got a video for you, a video product to check out also. I just realized we can watch the videos here on StreamYard. We may need to do that. I guess you guys can hear video through here. That would make sense. Yeah, we can watch video here now together. That's fun. All right. So we are going to do a quick commercial break. I'll be right back with a Ferg. And I'll be right back with some essentials in the kitchen and things along those lines for top-tier winter preps on today's PBN News. All right, a little break from the politics, a little break from the media, such. Food storage and preservation are at the heart of self-reliance. Our sponsor, PackFresh USA, features Made in America products. I shop PackFreshUSA.com for Mylar bags and oxygen absorbers for my home food storage. But they do all kinds of products. Go to PackFreshUSA.com and check out their Prepper University and order their box set of Mylar bags and oxygen absorbers. It's a 7 mil 100 pack of Mylar bags, oxygen absorbers, labels, and even a food storage guide. Get that PackFresh USA, man. What a great sponsor, huh? The Ferg. This is the perfect Ferg for this season, too. America reigns once again. The communists have been sunk. Now their lunatics are out amongst us, right? Arkham Asylum has been emptied out upon us. So take a look at the Ferg. It's an awesome item. This is the one I'm wearing too this year. I'm glad I went and grabbed this. So you see the top has this open top, right? And it's got these two strings, which I really like hanging off the top of it myself. And you could tighten that thing down. You could double knot it. You can put it up in a bow if you want it to look cute. You know, I don't get a lot of credit for cute looks around here with two boys and a wife. But, you know, I like that look. That's kind of a cool nap time look. You can fold it up and get this guy going, which is probably how I'm going to rock it right now. But the way the Ferg excels, the way the Ferg excels when it really gets cold, you know, you untie this guy. I mean, I've gone out of the house with more than one of these on because of this. Now, when I got mine in 2020, we also used to do this number. We also used to do this number when we had to run in and get a hot dog from 7-Eleven. You know what I mean? And this was about as effective. This crocheted hat is about as effective as your masks were all through COVID. But anyway, this thing comes. Look, you see what I mean? Now, this coat on top, Ferg on top. You can't buy these at Amazon, by the way. You're not going to find a Ferg at Amazon. You got to reach out to Jay Ferg at Phoenix Survival. Oh, I hope it didn't freeze, Jay Ferg. I'm doing a whole skit here on your hat. No, I don't think it froze. Somebody let me know in chat if I got to start my Ferg over again. Anyhow, I'd have a hard time believing it froze. We've got some serious horsepower flowing into this thing right now. But anyhow, so the Ferg, man, an essential. The other thing, we're going to talk about food and managing a kitchen and stuff along those lines, you know. Winter essentials on that end. I don't know what's going on. Let's take a look over. I think the nukes are going off based on... Oh, no, okay, this is work stuff. Oh, I got an offer too, right on. Wonderful. Anyway, so kitchen essentials, winter. Allspice, cinnamon, clove, Chinese five spice, nutmeg. It's not about keeping warm, but it is about keeping warm when you think about it, right? These things got to be in the spice cabinet for me because when it's cold, it doesn't have to be winter, can be fall. Right now we're doing our daily bread challenge. The Our Daily Bread Challenge is basically putting it in the back of your head to bake some bread today. Bake something. Just get the baking, right? Focus on the bread because baking bread is fun. It's rewarding, and it's a skill that you should really hone in. Preppers don't often put value in cooking from scratch. It's not one of those skills they put a lot of value in. The cost of things is starting to change that a little. So the challenge is to bake some bread every day. I've seen crackers. I've seen hot dogs wrapped in bread. I made some cinnamon buns, some focaccia myself, some rolls, some... What else? I don't know. Everybody's doing great. Thank you guys for sharing. It's a fun little challenge. You know what I mean? There's no first prize. Nobody's winning anything. It's just honing that skill. You have all the way up until Thanksgiving to participate. And, you know, it can be sweet bread. It can be savory. It can be quick bread. It can be yeast risen, whatever, all that kind of stuff. Get into it, man. Get into the kitchen and cook. But when it's winter, one of the things that you can do to help the heating system is turn the oven on, like bake, put something in the oven, put a roast in the oven, put a leg of lamb in the oven. You know what I mean? Bake a loaf of bread, that kind of thing. Bake cookies, whatever. Who cares? You know what I mean? Get out there, turn the oven on. Then you got 350 degrees pouring into the kitchen, keeping you warm in there too. You know, if you've got a wood stove, fire it up, that kind of thing. So those cooking essentials are a big deal for me because I want to be able to reach in there. Maybe molasses is a big one too. I want to be able to reach in there and grab things like that and say, you know, we can do this. We can bake something that's going to be delicious. It's going to fit the season. It's going to have that sort of spicy take. Be awesome. Another essential for me are these. These are essential to me. I like coffee mugs, man. I like seasonal coffee mugs because I like, more important than the seasonal coffee mug is the hot beverage. The hot beverage in winter is so overlooked. You know what I mean? You wake up in the morning, the hot coffee. Are you kidding me? The hot, or in the evening, the hot coffee. It's been cold. You've been cold out all day. The hot coffee. Oh, man. The hot tea. The hot chocolate. You know, if you're in a survival situation and it's a cold one, like, drink the water hot. You got to boil it anyway, right? If you're melting snow, if you're sourcing it from a creek, you're filtering it, you're boiling it anyway to make sure it's safe, I hope, and you drink it hot. Oh, that's a good tip, Jay Ferg. I'm going to put that in there. I'm reminded of a hike I took with my son, my oldest. He was much younger. We were going to go hike in the mountains, and I didn't realize the mountains had been totally frozen over, snowed on, and everything. So we get there, and we're taking a walk through the woods up there in the Shenandoah, and it's getting cold, and we're getting wet and freezing and so on. And eventually I said, all right, look, we're going to head back, but before we do, we're going to go over here. We're going to hit the jet boil. We're going to warm up some water. We're going to make some tea. You know what I mean? And my son, who I don't know if I could pay him to drink a cup of tea, he took that warm titanium cup in his hands, gloved hands, and he sat there and he drank that tea and he got warm, and then we hiked our way back. And look, man, that, you know, this is what it's all. It's not as complicated as you think, right? Not as complicated as you think. Now, what I have for you today to round this thing out is new tech that I'm not that familiar with. I don't have any. Well, now I do. I've never played with heated clothing and stuff. Sorry. Phone. I've never played with heated clothing and stuff. Never. So hand warmers a little bit. What I have linked down below is a video from L2 Survive, one of our great listeners, L2 Survive. His YouTube channel, follow him. He knows his stuff. He does back to Eden gardening. He does all kinds of great reviews. And this is a link to hand warmers. And he did a solid review on these hand warmers. So check him out. I got a coat with the heating stuff in it. I haven't turned it on yet. I haven't even tried it. I'm going to do it for a family gear episode for our members. I really like it. I mean, I like the concept. You know, I think it's great. I think it particularly important if you're going to be stationary cold, like hunting, that kind of thing, right? That's where I get cold, stationary. If I can get up, move around, I don't really get cold. but stationary stuff can be a monster. I wish I had it in Gotham Get Out. I wouldn't have told anybody. I wouldn't have told you, Ben. I wouldn't have told you, future Dan. I'd have sat there in the cold. Because we overnighted in the woods in February in Northern Virginia, in our home, in our, I guess you could call it our covert homeless shelter. We started fire with a bullet and gunpowder, but anyway, I could have had that coat on. You guys would have never known any different because it's just a black coat. It's nice. It's cool. But that could become something. That could be a part of the thing. It's something I want to explore this year. USB charging capability, like, makes it just cake. You know what I mean? To do this kind of stuff now, you take a power bank, you plug it into your coat, and it heats the coat up. It's that simple. It doesn't have to be the one that comes with it. And then, of course, you have a power bank in your coat, so now you can charge your phone in the winter, too. Because what you may or may not know is when your phone gets real cold, man, the battery just dies. So something to consider. Top tier winter preps, PBN family. The weather will get frightful. And from my experience, you know, I grew up in a household where we hated the winter. And we just hated it. There's nothing good about it. That was the mentality in my house. We couldn't go fishing anymore, so we hated it. Over the years, because of fireplaces and disaster coffee and coffee mugs and Jay Ferg and, you know, great stuff like that, you just come to appreciate the season a little more because you're better prepared for it, right? I think that's about all I got today, folks. Thank you. Thank you much. Follow, like, subscribe, share this thing, do all that kind of stuff for us. Follow the podcast at PrepperBroadcasting.com and, you know, become a member. Become a member to support the network. We are never going to make a penny off YouTube. They're trying to kill us already. Rumble, you don't make any money off of, no matter how good you do over there, it seems like. So, you know, the podcasts are 100% free. These streams, 100% free to you. You know what I mean? Go to pbnfamily.com, sign up for your membership. And on top of supporting what we do, you know, you get access to tons of prepping content. And that's that. All right, folks. I will talk to you tomorrow. Surviving America, my show, my own personal show will be on tomorrow, Surviving America. And I look forward to seeing you there also for the live stream. All right. Talk to you guys soon. Jay Ferg, Garden Girl, thanks so much. Soup. Soup in chat. Yes, I missed that one, Jay Ferg. That's a huge call. Soup. Oof. Sounds like a soup kind of day. All right. I'll see you guys.